You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2010, the 17th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in San Francisco, California, from February 16th through February 19th, 2010.
My name is Elijah Painso from Yale University School of Medicine, and we have been interested in looking at survival of hepatitis C virus in syringes. And as we've heard in the preamble, it is disproportionately affecting people who inject drugs. And the virus is actually transmitted in the same mode, more or less, like HIV. But we also see that there is differential rate, prevalence of HCV and HIV. Worldwide, it's about 30 to 95% of drug injectors infected with this virus. And in the United States, where HIV in injection drug uses, it's low, from about 1 to 10%. You still have hepatitis C prevalence of about 30 to 85%. So we look at it. These viruses are very similar. Why is one having a higher prevalence? So we thought that it probably due to the long period of survival. Until now, we were not able to answer this question, but we, with others, have been able to develop a lab model that allows us to really replicate this virus. So we simulated injection drug use practices, load syringes, store them at different temperatures, 4 degrees room temperature and 32 for up to 63 days, and then look at how much virus would we recover. And our main findings, which we think is really neat in the fact that what we found could be really used in prevention messages and strategies. One, we found that the survival of the virus depends on the syringe type, i.e. the design and then the volume of the syringe, and also depended on time, and then also lastly, depended on temperature. So if you look at the syringe exchange programs, you can use any of these three to work. One, the type. Most programs give to the injection drug users syringes of their preference. And we found that syringes that have detachable needles could help this virus to survive for up to 63 days. And the insulin syringes, which have an attached needle to it, we only were able to recover viruses up to 7 days. And then when you look at the other aspect of this, it's time. Most syringes now being used by injection drugs stays in circulation from 0 to about 23.5 days. Interestingly, during that period, we also found that the virus that we recovered had very high titers. So the virus is very infectious during that. So we may have to make the effort to reduce the circulation time and then also be able to really take use syringes out of the street. And then also temperature. People inject in different geographical regions. We saw that at 4 degrees, the viability of this virus is enhanced. So if you are in a cold place, something that we really have to study further to substantiate. But there is some suggestion to that effect. Thank you.
Do you believe that the findings from your syringe study have implications for needle exchange programs? For instance, should they try to give out insulin syringes as opposed to other types, even if that's not what people prefer, or what would you?
Thank you for that question. Yes, certainly it has implication, because we now know that the longevity of the virus depends on the syringe type, and the insulin ones, the virus did not stay alive longer. So looking at that face value, it's probably expedient to give out insulin syringes than the syringes with detachable. And then again, also volume probably matters. But I think the bottom line is not to use the reused syringes. I mean, that's the most important, because during the period most syringes stay in circulation from 0 to 23.5 days. And we found that we could recover live viruses during that time. So the message is not to use syringes.
Could you just elaborate a little more on the question of temperature, and are you talking in degrees centigrade or Fahrenheit?
Thank you. So the temperatures we used were in centigrade, four degrees. That is equivalent to the ordinary refrigerator. And then 22 degrees, it's equivalent to room temperature. And then the 37, it's just temperature of an incubator. That we dial up to 37 centigrade.
And what happened to the virus at those temperatures?
What we saw was the longevity or survival was actually generally inversely proportional to the temperature, so that 4 degrees, they survive longer than 22 and then 37.
Are there implications as well about possible reservoirs in hospital reuse of the devices that have the syringes? We've seen a problem with some pathogen transmission in hospitals, other pathogens, and I'm wondering if we might see it here also. Could this be a way of transmitting HIV or HCV, either one?
Thanks. And the question is about other bench top or other vials, injection bottles that are used in the hospitals. The problem as it now is that we are not able to cultivate viruses from human beings in the lab. So what we used was a lab strain, and we have not done the studies to stimulate all these other conditions, but we, going forward, could try to replicate what happens in healthcare settings if you put a virus in injection vials or IV fluid bags or even wet surface. What are we going to see? We don't know that yet.
Given your findings of a lower persistence of the virus in different conditions, is there any way to tell how many fewer possible infections could result from someone switching the type of needle that's offered at these programs, or from lower temperature versus higher temperature settings? How much impact is this likely to make on disease if taken into account in these programs?
Thank you for that question. And I think ours is just but the first step of highlighting these conditions that we saw. And going forward, I think we could actually do epidemiological studies where people who use injection drug users who are HCV, I can figure out people asking them questions about their injection practices. Where do they store their syringes? How long do they keep their syringes? So those would be a sort of a follow-up studies. We cannot definitely comment or say much on that, but I can see people taking this up and then doing epidemiological studies and informing us. Certainly, if they do, those could be used also as prevention messages and strategies.
To pursue even more speculation, if these virus does not seem to survive at high temperatures, has anyone noticed that there are waves of hepatitis C infection during the winter as opposed to during the summer? You know, I just wonder if there is a temperature gradient to disease exposure.
Thank you very much for that question. And I just like the way you said you prephrase that as speculative. So we also in that. And we are excited also to look at that. And the hepatitis C belong to a family of virus we call the flavivirus. So usually these are in birds. And generally people think that birds have a higher temperature, core temperature, than human beings. So it's difficult at this point. I think we need more studies and really finding out. And our study highlights a situation where people can now go back and see the incidence of hepatitis C different seasons. So this is really something that probably in the future would have more data on.
And Dr. Thomas, do you have any comment on the things that we've been asking here?
No, I think that I agree with those statements, that this is just the beginning of trying to understand, having some science to help us reduce the risk of transmission of hepatitis C by drug use, all different ways that could occur. We know that needle exchange is sufficient to reduce HIV transmission. It's been harder to establish the science to inform public health policy for Hep C transmission. And I think these guys are right on track with a method for doing that. And they're going to be, in the next 6 to 12 months, teaching us more about all the other things that drug users share besides just the syringe. I mean, it could be the cookers and the cotton and all the other parts of the drug use implements that are critical. It's kind of like if if you're lighting off a firecracker, taking a step back, maybe all you need to do to protect yourself. If you're lighting off a grenade, you might need to get further back. And hepatitis C is more transmissible than HIV by needle stick. It's a log more transmissible. And so we need to have work like what they're doing to sort some of that out.
I worked with Elijah on this study. I'm Robert Heimer from the Yale School of Medicine. And yesterday afternoon, I went out to the Homeless Youth Alliance out in Haight, where they do needle exchange. And I saw the needles that they have on the walls there, including syringes with detachable needles. And the reason they give them away to drug users is some drug users inject substances that require larger bore needles, especially people who are injecting hormones. And I asked, the director had heard about our work and said, look, we have to do that. And so we both agreed the answer for situations like that is you just have to give out more syringes so that people only use their syringe once. Now that the federal ban on funding for syringe exchanges has been lifted, it'd be nice to get more money so that people have more money to give out more syringes to the people who need them.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from CROI 2010. For more coverage of this conference, please visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2010.